Diana Garlow is going to bless us this morning.
Thank you, Ben. Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank Pastors Perry and Lois for allowing me this privilege to speak this morning. Even though it makes me really nervous and sometimes I feel like I want to get sick, it's still a privilege to be able to share with God's people. And I'd also like to thank my husband, Steve, because there's a portion that I'm going to share that's a little bit personal. And yeah, he's just a great guy. So he is. So what I'm actually sharing on this morning is prophetic journaling, but I wanted to start out by just, when Pastor Perry started the sermon series on Holy Spirit last week, it got me to thinking about what my relationship has been with Holy Spirit. So I became saved, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19, and very short time after that, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I've had that infilling. But the problem I had was that I just didn't really know necessarily how to relate to Holy Spirit. Back in the day, we used to call him the Holy Ghost. And it's like I knew how to relate to God the Father. I knew how to relate to Jesus as my Savior and kind of like a superhero who did things for me that I couldn't do for myself. But relating to a ghost, and I wasn't afraid of him or anything like that, but he just seemed so elusive. And God brought to my remembrance something, a portion of my life when I was a little kid. From about the time I could walk until just before kindergarten, I used to carry around a security blanket with me. And it was a baby blanket that I'd had. It had kind of a satin trim around it. And I carried it everywhere, so much so that it began to fall apart. And I didn't know it at the time, but my mom told me after that she got really frustrated because I wouldn't let it out of my being with me. I was comforted by it all the time. So my family started calling it Old Dirty because mom could never wash it. So wherever Diana went, Old Dirty went back in the day. But you know, why I share this is because God, the Holy Spirit, is a tangible, real presence in our life, just like that blanket for me to snuggle and cuddle. And so hopefully that helps somebody else too. I believe that our daily lives should be different because we have a relationship with the triune God. So, you know, I shared one way is being comforted by Holy Spirit. Oops, wait a minute. Go that way. Oh, hang on. Well, there's a slide up here that talks a little bit about some of the things that Pastor Perry shared last week. And I wasn't texting while you were talking. I was writing down some notes on my phone. So part of what he shared about Holy Spirit is that God the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. He teaches us and reminds us. He circumcises our hearts. He pours God's loves into our hearts. He testified that we're God's children, and he helps us know how to pray. And that was only a portion of the list, just a small part of what Holy Spirit does. And the reason I wrote down those is because I believe that it directly relates to doing prophetic journaling, which is my topic for today. So here's my plan of how we'll spend the next. I always skipped a slide, but yeah, so here we are. So my plan for our time together, it would be to answer these six questions. What is prophetic journaling? Who can do prophetic journaling? Why should we even want to? How do we know it's really God speaking? That's the big one for me. What are the steps of prophetic journaling if you've not done it before and you'd like to start? And then what happens if number five doesn't work? Try to be practical here. Oh, did I went the wrong way? All right. So at a very basic definition, prophetic journaling is a conversation between us and God, and it's in written form, though. So you might think of it like writing a letter. It's very similar to some of the other kinds of prophecy. So we know that those are to strengthen, to encourage, to comfort. So whether someone is giving a personal prophetic word to you, someone's giving a corporate word, someone's doing a prophetic visual art, there's a dance troupe that's ministering prophetically. You know, all of those ways, all of those things should help strengthen, encourage, and comfort us because they're a type of prophecy. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 14:3, by the way. But the way that prophetic journaling is different from those other kinds of prophecy is that those are done by one believer or a group of believers for someone else. Prophetic journaling is done by the believer to that same believer. So that it is a little different in that way. And I would like to say that one of the things it's not is that it's not recording my own thoughts, because these are God's thoughts for me. So even though when I hear from God almost all the time, whether it's journaling or other ways, it usually sounds like my voice in my own head. So don't let that throw you. If you're looking for that big, booming, baritone voice, it might happen that way for you, but it doesn't usually happen that way for me. All right, so who can do prophetic journaling then? Do we have to have special qualifications? Do we have to receive training? You know, those kinds of things. Well, the good news is that we are all equipped to do prophetic journaling. We learn in Proverbs 20:12, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. That's not talking about our physical ears and our physical seeing. It's talking about spiritually. And we also know from the New Testament, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So we all have the spiritual equipment that we need to do prophetic journaling and to hear from God in general. All right. But we also, when I asked the question, is there training? It's not a training necessarily like if you want to be on the prophetic team and you might take a series of classes that you can do that, but we don't require that and God doesn't require that. But we know from Hebrews 5:14 where it says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the more you practice hearing from God and the more you practice putting into play what he asks you to do or what he encourages you to do or whatever his message is, the more you are training yourselves to hear from God. So it's an act of faith. We also, I want to encourage us that we will all make mistakes while we are working on this, because we're all learning and mistakes are part of the learning process. And I'm a teacher, so take my word for that, my professional word for that. All right, so why would we do prophetic journaling if it's something that's, you know, one more thing added to a very, very busy day? Well, Dr. John Watson, who was the founding pastor of this church, used to say in classes that he taught that it was a gateway into giving prophetic words. So if you want to be on a prophetic team, this is a great way to practice. But I don't think that's the most important reason, and I don't think he thought so either. Oops, I keep forgetting. Why should we do prophetic journaling? Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't practice this part of it yesterday. So anyway, you can listen to me or you can watch up there. Who knows if it's going to go together. All right, so the most important reason, I think, to do prophetic journaling is because it helps me develop my relationship with God. So that's the number one reason. It's not the only way we can develop a relationship with God, but it's certainly one way. And I know that there are a lot of people. How many people in here have done prophetic journaling before? Yep, lots and lots of people. And I know Lisa has taught a class on prophetic journaling. Sherry Wise, a lot of her poetry comes from her prophetic journaling. And I know Bill Bowles has talked to me about doing prophetic journaling as well. So, you know, it's a common practice. If you haven't done it before, it's not a weird thing. It's kind of common. All right, but the real reasons that I believe that we would want to do prophetic journaling is, the bottom line is, it helps us develop a relationship. And specifically, it allows God to tell us how much he loves us. It's a time when I quiet myself and I do hear his voice. It's a means of knowing God, knowing who God is. We can hear God's directions for specific matters in our lives in prophetic journaling. It helps us know our identity and our destinies. So one of the things you might have been thinking about is, well, does prophetic journaling really give specific answers to specific questions? Like if I ask, should we buy this house? Should I invest this $1 million in whatever? Which is never a question I'll probably ask. But anyway, you know, can I ask real specific things like that? So the answer is yes and no. And the way that God determines that, yes or no, I believe, is that he gives me what I need and not necessarily what I want. So have I asked him specific questions and gotten specific Yes, you should do this. You should do this tomorrow. You should. Yes, I have. And then there are other times when he gives me a more general answer. And it will be something like, you need to get started in this process and I'll reveal my direction as time goes on. And sometimes he just will say something like, Diana, I love you and I've got this. Which means I just keep going. Yeah, he didn't tell me specifically. So the most important thing to me when I think about prophetic journaling is the God of the universe takes his time to spend time with me when I ask. All I do is I sit down and I say, God, I'm really ready to listen to you. And if you can wrap your mind around that, that's amazing. And it happens over and over and over again. And it's not just for me. It's for all of us. It's actually his expectation for us that we sit down and we walk with him and we talk with him. He gives me healing and hope and restoration. And, you know, I have woundedness in me still. I need all of this stuff from him. So prophetic journaling, like I said, one way to develop that relationship. So it is a really big deal. Oops. I should have numbered my questions up there because now I'm ahead of myself. All right. So anyway, I'm going to go to how do I know it's really God? There it is. How do I know it's really God? Well, I've been doing prophetic journaling in a really systematic way since 2013. I'm kind of an organizational freak, so I know for sure that it was because I do my journaling on my computer, and I have a file folder that says prophetic journaling, and I have a folder inside that says 2013, and one that says 2014 and 15. And inside of every one of those, there's a file for every month of the year because I don't journal every last single day. And I'm not trying to say this as a point of pride. I'm just saying this is an important part of my developing my relationship. So I'm encouraging you to at least consider it if you haven't. So I'll just also throw this out there. It's not something that I feel condemned if I don't do. It's not something I feel condemned if I don't have pages and pages, and usually I don't. There have been times in my life that I have, but usually I'll sit down several times a month and I'll just chat with God in written form. And the reason it's important for me to do it in written form and on my computer is because there are times he prompts me to go back and look at last month. How far have we come with this thing you've been asking me about? Or where are you now compared to last month? And sometimes it's last year. It's just really easy for me to do. So you know that prophetic journaling is important to me, but there was a time in my life, there was over a year's period where I would not. And what led me into that, I will not do prophetic journaling anymore, is this, how do I know it's really God? About 2008 or 2009, I was divorced from my first husband, and I was convinced that God wanted to put that marriage back together. And I was getting some Christian counseling, and I was prophetically journaling. And that's when the journaling first began to really flow for me. And I would ask God about just direction, specific direction. And there were times I would get very specific answers, like he's going to call in the morning and ask a question, and this is the way you should answer. There would be times when he would say, you're going to hear these kinds of things being said about you, and this is the way you need to respond to that. So I was getting that really clear kind of directions. But the bigger message of all of it was that the relationship was going to be restored. And so that's what I believed. And my ex-husband and I were still somewhat talking to each other. I knew he was seeing the woman that he had a premarital or an extramarital relationship with. But I was believing God for this word. And so we were planning our daughter's college graduation party. And so I was taking care of some details and he was. And I got a phone call one morning, and the phone call was from my ex-husband. And he said, oh, well, you take care of this and this and this, and I've already taken care of these details. And I can't take care of those because I'm down here in Florida on my honeymoon. So I was devastated. I wasn't so much devastated that he had made that move. What devastated me was, like, how could I have this journal filled with page after page after page of what I believed was God speaking to me. And I felt like I had verification from at least parts of it. So like, where had I missed it? So much. And so I just threw the journal away because I know me and I didn't want to torture myself by reading through it over and over again and trying to figure this out. So I thought, you know, I don't understand this. And I'm still going to go on with God. God, I still love you. I'm still going to go to church, still reading my Bible, you know, still praying and just doing the kinds of things I needed to do. And sometime between that time and this, I really felt a nudging from God to think this through. Have you ever read the Bible and misinterpreted it? Yes, of course I have. Have you ever prayed and prayed incorrectly for someone, yourself, for someone else? Yes, of course I have. Have you ever received a prophetic word and interpreted it in light of what is going on in your life at this exact moment? Well, yes, of course I have done those things. But you still receive prophetic words and you still, you know, do all of those other things. So I knew that God was saying that to consider what was going on in prophetic journaling. And now I can't go back and read those journals, but here's what I think was really, really happening. Prior to the time of the divorce, I put my nuclear family at such a place in my life that they were seated at the very top of my love and my consideration and my time and everything. And your nuclear family is supposed to be a responsibility, and you are supposed to love them and care for them. But I knew that I had put them in above God, above my relationship with Him. And I also know that God is many, many things to me, but He's my heavenly bridegroom, and I'm His bride. And I knew that I had not honored that covenant the way I should. And so I think I've received a lot of healing from that time to this. If I went back and read that journal, what I would really understand is that God was revealing His heart to me of how He was restoring my relationship with Him. I also believe that there was a foretelling of my marriage relationship to Steve. Now, this is not a message about should Christians ever divorce, can they ever divorce, can they remarry. It's not about that. This is about what was going on in my life at that time. That's what I'm trying to affirm, that I don't always properly interpret what is going on really in any relationship, let alone with my relationship with God. So I decided, okay, I think because I have a relationship where God will explain things to me, I believe that that's what He was explaining right then, is that you do discern my voice. There are times, maybe not in the moment, where you realize you've gone off track and that wasn't me talking, but this was not one of those. So how do we know it's really God? It's by that relationship we have with Him. Does this sound like something He would say? You know the kinds of things your loved ones would say to you. Would God say this to you? It sometimes takes just time to discern how you experience God's voice. It does for me. I have to continue to work on training myself to hear. I have to read the word and say, are these godly principles that are being put into place with what I'm hearing? It's my responsibility for any prophetic word that I receive, even if it's this kind of prophetic journaling, to test the spirits, right? That's what the Bible says. I also can test it by, does it come to pass? So those kinds of things take time. That's a training of ourselves. So five, what are the actual steps of prophetic journaling? Now that I've kind of danced around it, I don't know, maybe this would have been better right up front. Part of what I do, if you've not done journaling before, is I set a specific time and a place that doesn't have distractions. And that's really important for any relationship, and especially if we're trying to tune in and we're trying to hear our loved one. Of course, I have to be prepared to write. So wherever I'm going to do this, whatever time it is that I'm doing this, for me, I've got to have my computer there. Or for you, maybe you need to have your notebook there, however you're going to do it. I start the conversation. I mean, it doesn't have to be this way. I'm just giving you pointers if you want to get started. I start the conversation, and whatever I am experiencing, feeling, I pour that all out. It might take me two sentences. It might take me a page or two. But I'm in really good company if I do that, because David poured his heart out before the Lord, and then he was able to receive from him. Jesus poured his expectations out at the Garden of Gethsemane. So you know, this is something we're allowed to do. God's not afraid of our intense emotions or our apathy, you know, anywhere on the spectrum there. So I do that so that really I am, for two reasons. One is that I know he can handle that, and it puts me in a place of worship, because then I'm ready to receive from him. And that's the place where he comes and really meets me. So I have to be ready to receive, and then I write what I hear. So if I hear blue, I type blue. And then if I hear apple, I type apple. And then I listen, because that doesn't seem like a message to me. All right, so if I have something like that happen, then I just say, God, what are you saying to me about a blue apple? And then I listen, and I might hear something like this. Dear one, you've asked me a question, and the way I'm going to show up and answer that is like a blue apple that you put on your teacher's desk. It's there for everybody to see. But no one's ever seen a blue apple before, because no one's ever seen the kind of thing I'm going to do in you and through you and for you. All right? So I ask God, and I receive from him, and I don't put expectations on it. So I would encourage us that, just like Proverbs 25:2 says, that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings and queens to search it out. So a lot of times he does talk to me in kind of riddles, because I like that, and because he knows I will search that out, and that's the way he's made all of us, to want to know. So perhaps you'll have another question, and you let that process play out. And once the process has played out, as you're first learning, this is my encouragement to you. Go through and read it then. And you cross out anything that's contrary to the message. So that blue apple, it really, if that was the question I asked, what do I do in the situation, it really did relate, even though it sounded kind of goofy to begin with. I cross out anything that doesn't strengthen, encourage, or comfort me. And there are times when encouraging isn't all soft and fluffy. So it's not that I'm reading for. It's, you know, how does that help me get to where I need to go? Because this is God, who cares more about me than even hurting my feelings. So he's going to maybe say things in a way that gets my attention. And I cross out anything that openly opposes the Bible. So there's nothing about a blue apple in the Bible, right? But God doing something new within you, God seeing something unique within you, God showing off his glory within you, those are all biblical principles. So it really does line up with the Bible. And then what's left is the pure heart of the Father for you, and you meditate on that. And that's probably part of the reason I don't journal every day, is I need some time to let this soak in for me. And then I always date it, because that helps me to put it back to what was going on in my life at that time. Oops. All right, so what can we do if number five doesn't work? Well, one of the things is that we have to realize that straining to hear doesn't help. Self-condemnation doesn't help. Saying to yourself, well, I guess I just don't hear from God. He doesn't love me as much as he loves other people, or whatever kinds of things we might say. Those aren't helpful to us. So if we hear nothing, this is my encouragement, is that you just say, God, thank you for being here. I know you were here. I didn't hear like I wanted to hear, because I'm trying to be honest with God, but just thank you for being here. And I'm going to try this another day, because that's putting faith into practice. You know, you didn't get what you wanted, but you believe that God is still going to show up. Another thing you can do is to hang out with people who do journal prophetically. Remember how in the Bible, Saul in the Old Testament hung out with the prophets, and lo and behold, he could prophesy to his amazement and probably everybody else's. So I would encourage that. As you saw, there were a number of people here that do prophetic journaling. So even though the topic of today was prophetic journaling, the real message was developing our relationship with God, and specifically with the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. So here are those reminders from last week's sermon, once again, that God guides us into the truth. He teaches us and reminds us. He circumcises our hearts. He pours his love into our hearts. He testifies that we're God's children, and he helps us to know how to pray. So I'm assuming that you want more of those things, just like I want more of those things, and that we really believe that God wants them for us. So we're going to close in just a minute, and if Bill and Sherry and Lisa could come up here, and they'll be happy to pray with you if you would like to start journaling prophetically or you want to hear more of what God's, I guess they're going over here. Okay. So we just want to be in one place because when the people minister, do the personal ministry, we want to let them have enough space to minister too. And I'd like to close by just releasing more of who God is in our lives, the ability to hear in a greater way and to have that greater expectation. So if you would just stand with me, just signal that you are willing to respond and to receive. So, Father, I just thank you that you provided a way for us to come to you through Jesus. I thank you that after Jesus ascended up to heaven, he said that it was better for us that the Holy Spirit would come because he would be our comforter. So, God, we thank you for that comfort from Holy Spirit. And, God, I just release now in the name of Jesus a greater portion of hearing from you, a greater revelation of how you're walking with us, and a greater revelation of the power that comes from life lived in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.